we can rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Nevertheless, we're going to press away. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's start off with verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. On two Fridays ago, we went over being entrapped in a cocoon of complacency. And then this past Friday, we went over subtle regression. And tonight, with the help of the Lord, we will hope we can tie it all in together, and then we will go forward. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a real amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I think maybe y'all say amen, but if everybody's so far back, y'all just move a little bit closer. Maybe if everybody move a little closer, if you don't mind, I can hear you better. Amen. And I don't feel like I'm up here on an island all by myself. We just really, like I said, we thank God today. With so much happening in the world, there's so many challenges, catastrophes, and just as Mr. Simon said in his prayer, people just seem to be losing their minds. But tonight we thank God that we have a mind to be saved and a mind to be in church. Truly God is good. And indeed, his mercies endure forever. We thank God for seeing Robert and Billy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for seeing Keisha. Yeah. We haven't seen in a while. But I can truly say that God is good. Amen. We don't determine the goodness of the Lord based on what is going on in our lives or our environment or the things that are happening around us. But we know that God is good because he keeps us from day to day. He keeps loved ones. Amen. Maybe we're not what we want to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. So for that we can say thank you, Jesus. We're going to read scripturally 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. And we'll skip down to read verses 18 and 22. Verses 10 through 15. And then we'll skip down and read verses 18 through 22. If you all have it, can we say amen? Can we have one of those enthusiastic amens?
Hey, amen!
All right, that's a little better. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous by they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not willing accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceits, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hard they have exercised with conventious practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are going astray after the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 18. But when they speak great, swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome, that latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments to their, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you that we have assembled ourselves together. Lord, tonight we thank you for salvation. Father God, in spite of everything that's happening about us, Lord, in spite of the wind of life that seem to be blowing against us, Lord, in spite of the storms in our lives, we still say thank you. And Lord, we ask you this evening to speak. Lord, speak to our lives. Lord, speak to the situations. Oh God, at this time we ask you to search us, oh God, and know our hearts. Lord, try us and know our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us. Lord, and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord God, tonight may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be accepted in thy sight, oh Lord. Now our hearts are thine tonight, Lord, and speak for thy servant here. Can we all say in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Truly, truly, we thank God tonight. Once again, as I said, two Fridays ago, we went over being entrapped in a cocoon of complacency. And then last week, we went over walking in the Spirit so that we did not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we titled that Subtle Regression. And subtle regression, once again, is slipping back to a former spiritual state without being aware of it. Amen. And actually, I really tried hard to prepare another message, but I couldn't leave this. So I figured we'd touch on this one more time. Now, I went to the end of service to ask if you have any questions. Amen. But one of the ploys that the devil uses against the church, amen, as Elder Mackey said on Sunday, is working in our minds. Amen. The devil already knows that he's defeated. He knows as long as we stay in Christ and we continue to do God's will, we will be blessed and we will have victory. So the devil cannot get God to curse us. The devil cannot get God at any time to turn against us. So what the devil does is he employs the same tactics that Baal used against the children of Israel. Since he can't get God to curse us, he gets us, God, to respond to his word. Now it doesn't matter how saved we are, or how holy we are, or how much we speak in tongues, how much we pray and read our Bibles. When we act in disobedience to God's word, the scripture lets us know that his word is immutable or unchangeable. So when we sow certain things, we have to do what? Reap them. No matter how spiritual we are, when we sow certain things, we have to reap them. So the devil knows, he said, now they can't, they won't stand. Amen. If anybody bring any of us a bottle of whatever that alcohol is they drink now, never drink it, thank God, I don't even know what they drink. But if they brought it to us, most of us would say, no, I don't want that. Right? Because we know that that's not what God wants us to do. I know they had vodka, so years ago they had vodka. I don't know what they have today. Alright, but I know a lot of people used to drink all that. I don't even know how they drink that stuff. It's like poison. I tried to taste it and it almost killed me, so I don't know how they drink it. But years ago they drink vodka. If somebody brought you a whatever, a bottle of vodka, and they brought it in church, what must you say? Now look, I know better than that. Right? So we wouldn't drink the vodka. But what the devil does is he has somebody slip us a wine cooler on a hot day. Right? Now, I'm just using this as an example. I hope it ain't true. Somebody has slip us a wine cooler so, you know, this is hot out. Not with so many percentage volume of alcohol, that should be all right. But if you, in the past, had a problem with alcohol, once you drink a little bit of wine cooler, that didn't do anything, so I drink another. Right? Because I got to cool off, it's hot. Then all of a sudden, your whole mental frame has been reoriented. And that guard that you had to resist that has now been broken down. Because you were tricked subtly. It didn't happen all at once. Amen. As we said before, what the devil does is he tries to get us comfortable with him being around. Amen. And as the old story said, there was a family that lived in the house, and the devil wanted to get in the yard, in the house first, and the gentleman said, no, you're the devil, you can't come in here. So the devil said, well, can I at least stay out in the yard? He said, well, listen, as long as you stay out in the yard, you can't come up on the porch, you can't come past the front gate, you can stay out there. So the devil hung out in the yard for a little while, and then he said, well, see, I'm not that bad. And the guy said, well, yeah, yes, you're all right. He said, well, can I come up a little closer? He said, you can only come on the porch, but you can't come in the house. This is how the devil works. Amen. It's not that he comes at us all at once, but he comes in his subtle ways. So the gentleman said, oh, well, yeah, you can come on the porch, don't look at the windows, don't knock on the door, and don't mess with my family. So the devil hangs out on the porch long enough for them to feel comfortable with him, and then he says, you know, I'm not really that bad, am I? And it's, well, you heard a lot of bad stuff about you, but you ain't everything that they said you were. So the devil said, well, can I come inside the house now? You can come in the house, but you can only go in the living room. You know, this is how the devil works. A facetious story, but it's true in our lives. He comforts us in little ways. Then what we do is we develop a tolerance for the little things. And because his desire is to get in the house and take over the house, he just keeps doing it little by little. The devil doesn't care how long it takes him to get you and I, he's going to do it. And the only way that the devil can get the victory over us, remember this, is when we go contrary to God's word. Because as long as we're in God's word will be our hiding place. As long as we stay in God, the devil cannot penetrate God's word because he will build a shield to protect us. So what the devil does is he begins to work on our imaginations. Amen. Noah, the Bible said that they destroyed the whole world there because every imagination of mankind at that time was evil. So the devil knows he cannot defeat us by just getting us to do wrong. So what does he do? He works on our imagination. Amen. Our imagination he can create and make things be there that are not really there. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, what Paul says is, listen, we must keep our prayer lives intact. Spiritually, we must stay alert and awake because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Tonight and today, too many in the church are fighting some carnal battles that should not be. Amen? Matter of fact, I had someone call me not too long ago. I'm not going to tell you when or how or what, because I don't want the person to know who they are. But someone called me and asked me a question. I said, you know what? I'm going to give you this. I'm not a controlling individual. As long as you are doing what the Word of God says and is good, you do not have to get my permission to do the right thing. We don't have to get permission to do the right thing. Amen. Well, should I do this? If it's scriptural and it's godly and it's nothing that's going to cause you to sin, you don't have to get permission. Amen. Because the Bible says a tree is known by its fruits. Amen. So what type of fruits are we producing tonight? Amen. A tree is known by its fruit. So as long as you're doing good, you're doing the right thing, and you're doing it according to the word of God, you don't need permission. That's your conscience, and God seals that conscience. But if you have a question mark, or if you're doing it with a bad motive, a bad intention, then you need not do it. You don't have to ask permission to do the right thing. It's like a person said, well, I'm so confused, should I pray? You don't have to ask to pray. Amen. Jesus said, then I'm always to pray. Amen. Now, there are some things we need to get counsel for, not permission. How many of you are adults out there? Let me see you raise your hand. You can choose to eat of the tree of knowledge and evil, or you can choose not to eat. God says, you don't have to ask for my permission. Now, I'm giving you a choice, but you are the adult. Now, you have to make the best and the right decision. Now, if you make the wrong decision, there are always consequences. Amen? So you do not have to get permission as an adult to do what God tells you to do. Now, what we do as adults is we get counsel to confirm that we're doing the right thing. Do you understand? It's a difference between permission and getting counsel, because the Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is what? In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. We are all free to do as we please. But the reason that God has an anarchy as far as the Bible and Scripture is concerned is because the Scripture says the watchman on the wall can see a lot further. But as a watchman, is not the watchman's job to come to you for direction. Amen. We go to the watchman so that God can order our steps. And how does he order our steps? Psalms 119, 133, order my steps through thy word. Anytime you go get counsel or direction, if it's not through the word, you need to leave that alone. Amen? If it's not through the word, leave it alone. Well, these are the things that the devil has done effectively against the church. He's mixed up counsel and advice. He's mixed up getting direction from getting permission. Because he knows if he can create a gray area, if he can create a cloud, if he can create an area of ambiguity so we don't know what to do, then he has the influence. How can we as saints be saved and not know the right thing to do? Amen? I was speaking to someone, I'm going to get to this eventually, but what I'm trying to do is show you the subtle things that the devil is doing in our lives. I was speaking to someone not too long ago, and like I said, I'm not going to give you answers. I'm not going to give you the exact thing because they're not here, but we don't want you to try to guess who it is. Amen. And listen, this is the person that you all want to anyway. All right, so don't try and guess. All right? Man, we thought we could get it, not this one. But the person was saying how, and this is one of the spirits of deception that the devil is using today. He was saying how the person was using the Bible to show them what they were doing, and they knew it was sin. Listen, you don't have to guess sin. We know sin. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good, to him that doeth it not, it's what? Sin. I don't care what Archbishop Tutu or whatever else they are telling you, it's sin. Well, the person was saying, well, I knew it was wrong, but they kept saying that God says this. Listen, when you are doing the wrong thing, the Spirit of God that's in you, Jesus said, the Spirit will lead and guide us into what? All, not some truth, but all truth. When someone is using God's word to misdirect you, the Spirit sends up a red alert in you. Amen. You don't need it from anybody else. That spirit in you, if you're praying, and if you're asking God to direct yourself, when someone is using the word of God, and they're using it to beguile or deceive you, God's spirit will give you the red flag, and something in you will say, wait, this is a fear on it. And you know, you can choose to go to the individual and say, listen, I don't like what you did, and it doesn't sound right. Now, when they try to take God's word and misconstrue it and make his word apply to that situation and that situation only, leave them alone. It's wrong. And so I told the individual, well, you knew what God did. I know, but this is what they said. Who should we obey? But then the Bible said we ought to obey God instead of who? Man. Amen. That includes me. Whenever anyone tells you anything, I will not try to do it on purpose. You can be guaranteed for that, but I don't want to reap those repercussions. Amen. We all are accountable to God for what we do. They have no exception. We read last week, God said, well, God, there's what? No respect of person. Don't ever allow anyone to take God's word and allow them to twist it to get you to go contrary to God. That's not God. That's the wrong spirit. Amen? So once again, verse 10 read, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Amen. We are all human. Is anybody here not human? All right, that means we all walk in. Oh, somebody raise your hand. Okay, you human. As long as the blood is, as it used to say down south, as long as the blood is still warm and warm in your vein, you are human. All right? As long as the blood, well, because we're human, we are always subject to the passions of our flesh. Amen. As we said on last week, God saved our souls, but did not save our flesh. So the motions of sin are still alive and active in our flesh. The moment you stop praying, the moment you stop bringing your body into subjection, those passions in the flesh will seek expression. Amen. So we do not want to get to the point where we allow our flesh to dictate our direction more than God's spirit. Amen. So it says, chiefly that I walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they and they are what? Now, what Peter is talking about is the false teachers, false prophets. Those that are trying to use the word of God to make merchandise of us. Amen. If you read it, that's what he's talking about. Don't allow anyone to use God's word to make merchandise of you. That's not God. He says they are what? Self-willed. And they're not even afraid to speak evil of dignity. I learned years ago, amen, I can have some serious issue with the men of God, but I will not speak evil of them because that's the place that God has put them in. So I respect the position. Just as I was growing up, I never to this day, and my mother and father tell you, I never spoke back to them. I thought it, but I never said it. Amen. First of all, I didn't know what my father would do. My mother had a mean way of swinging a switch, and she, when we acted up, she could hit us anywhere. So I never really wanted to experience those pain, but she always taught us. She said, you know what? A disobedient child will not live all of their days out. The first commandment with promise is honor your mother and father. So I learned to honor and respect the position. Not the person, but the position. Don't ever allow yourself to get into a position where you just start talking about men of God. I'm not talking about men, I'm just talking about men of God in general. That's disrespectful. See, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Why? Because they're being driven by their own self-will, spirit, and flesh. Amen? What we're trying to do is identify some of the traits that the devil used to get us to go against God. Then every time, listen, it doesn't make a difference when we go against God, we have to reap the consequences of our sowing. Amen? That's God's law. Say, whereas angels which are greater in power might bring not relevant accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts. Now, when they use the term natural brute beasts, it means they have no ability to reason. Amen. They cannot make a conscientious decision because they, as a beast, they go by their instinct or their self-will. Amen. A beast does not reason. Amen. If you have a fish in the water and throw it a worm, it could be a poisonous worm. That's what they're going to do. They're going to eat it. Why? Because that's their instinct. Amen. You know how they poison so many animals? Because the animals see food and their instincts are to eat it. Well, what God is saying is we do not want to react like beasts. We do not want to react with our self-will instincts. Amen. Because our self-will instincts are always according to the flesh and not the spirit. May he be taken to short, speak evil things that they want. If I don't understand, I just keep on moving because God gives me to understand. Somebody said, I understand it better. I understand it better. Paul said, I understand in part now. Amen. But then when that which is perfect is come, I will understand it better. So in our saved life, as we walk with the Lord and we get some experiences of our life under our belt, we will understand God's will more perfectly. Amen. But right now, we want to just decide and make decisions without understanding. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. And they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are and perishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivers. These are the things that help us identify those that are contrary, are not walking according to the will of God. Their own corruption and their own deceivers. While they feast with you, having eyes, now let's pay particularly attention to this, having eyes full of adultery, they're always lusting after the wrong thing. Amen. If you're around someone and everything about them is lusting after the wrong thing, you must be aware. They cannot what? Cease from sin. This is how the devil will use subtle regression to get us to go back. We're in the presence of someone, their eyes are full of sin, and they cannot cease from sinning, but we will not cut them off. Amen. When you choose to keep that type of environment, and you can have a choice, we would go on to say they will what? Beguiling unstable souls. Amen. When you allow your environment to be of such, it's full of sin, it's full of degradation, it's full of everything that's contrary to God, the vision that beguiling spirit will dominate or control you. It says it will beguile unstable souls and hearts that have exercised with perverse practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way. Don't allow anything or anyone to ever cause you to forsake the right way. Amen. They are beguiled. And what they love to go after is unstable souls. That word unstable is a Greek word which means deleizo. And it means that they use phallic speech or actions to get you to act contrary to God's will without you having a conscious awareness of it. They get you to act contrary to God's will without you having a conscious awareness of it. It's called spiritual manipulation, and in the church it's called spiritual puppeteering. How many know what a puppet master does? Right? And those things say, if you want to see me do my thing, do what? 12, I don't know, some of y'all are too young. Okay. But that's puppeteering. Say, if you want to see me do my thing, just pull my strings. Come on, y'all ain't gonna live. What? Y'all never heard of that? Has anybody heard of that? Mother Barbara? Up and down south. Y'all didn't get some education. But what it means is that you're being controlled or manipulated by someone else controlling your actions. Spiritual puppeteering. Someone else is pulling the string. If you ever see a puppet show, the puppet are here, but the person doing the action you cannot see. Because the person that's causing the puppet to move is moving behind the scenes. In all of our lives, there's some people pulling some strings, and they're behind the scenes. So people are looking at you saying, whoa, what's wrong with you? But you're not the real issue. You're allowing those beguiling, manipulating, flattering speech and spirit to manipulate you into acting contrary to God without you having a conscious awareness of it. Amen? Puppeteering. Somebody just pulling all your strings. You know, when we were growing up, I know y'all know this. Some people used to say, man, that girl or that guy has your nose wide open. Right, you heard that? Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. I ain't that old. At least I'm getting somewhere we all have in common, right? You know, this mom, you know, that was faith. Why are you allowing them to use you or do that to you? You know, why do you allow someone to make you act crazy or do the things that you do, and you know they're not really in favor of you? They were using you as a puppet, controlling you. You know, when we were growing up, you know, it's evil for guys. That's why my girls, I sheltered and protected my guys, girls. Yeah, he had a hard time. James had a hard time. Yes, he did. Matter of fact, they used to have a hard time. They used to say, Dad, you can't leave me alone. No, that gave him the way she said. But you know what? Because we sheltered our girls because guys, when we were growing up, I was a guy. Guess what? When I grew up, I was a guy. Now I know it, I was a guy. When being a guy, a male, I used to see the game. You know it's wrong. First of all, I was never condoning. But I used to see the games that they used to play, and then they all get together and talk about, I did this, I did that, and she was always, wow, that's so wrong. You know, that's not how I was raised. Young ladies today don't realize that these guys run these games on. Just get them. And then they go over here and they go over there. Matter of fact, I was down south, and the guy says to me, he said, how many girlfriends do you have? I said, what? He said, man, there's something wrong with you. He said, even a married man in Atlanta has seven women on the side. I was like, wow. That's how they thought. Say, you only got one girlfriend. I wasn't saved, all right? But I was old enough to have a girlfriend. I wasn't 12, 13, or 14. But what they were saying to me, he said, even a married man in Atlanta has several women on his side. He said, Atlanta's too big. Your wife can't keep up with you. You over here, you over there. That's the kind of spirit that we deal with. That's the type of manipulation that the devil uses. That's the kind of ungodly thing. That's the kind of walking after the flesh that God does not want in the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you're married, your husband and wife, your commitment is to each other, you should have nothing on the side. You shouldn't have anything close to the side. Amen, because that's not God. Church, we need to go back to the standards of holiness. Amen. So I said, well, she's not on the side. I can just talk to her better than I can talk to my wife. Wrong. Because the Bible says, love not your good. Can y'all help me? Don't let your good be what? Well, I can talk to him better than I can talk to my husband. Wrong. Those are the subtle tricks that the devil gets us. So it's just like, There was this man that had a flourishing, great mega ministry. And I think I told this story before. These were two pastors and their wives. They used to go to all of these church conventions together. And I ain't gonna tell you no names. All right? It's vague. I don't talk about people. I talk about situations. So I ain't gonna tell you no names. Amen. But they went to the same conventions all the time. And what happened was the husband, the two husbands and two wives would always go out to eat at every convention. It just so happened that at this one convention, the one man's wife was pregnant and could not go. So he was going to eat with the other man and his wife. And it just so happened at this convention that the husband got called away on an emergency. So the two figured, well, you know, we're just friends. This is what we always do, and we've done it for years, so we can continue to have dinner together. And what happened was something developed that should not have developed. Because when the cat's away, hello? But what happened was, it just so happened that they continued to carry on in the absence of each other's spouse. And before you knew it, a relationship developed. As a result of that relationship developing, this one pastor's whole ministry was lost and destroyed because he did not see that the devil was setting them up. Amen. Yes, he was spiritual. Yes, he was godly. Yes. The other pastor's wife was godly, but the devil doesn't care what he has to do to break you down. That's why the Bible said, give no appearance of evil and give no place to the devil. We do not let our good be evil spoken of. Now you can do as you please, but just beware that everything about you, the devil is trying to set you up. He never stops. It took him 40 years, but eventually he got Solomon. How? By Solomon being disobedient to the word of God. All right, skip this. Look at, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they attract you, they bait you, they pull you in, they use the word of the Lord through the what? Lust of the flesh. The main two that the devil uses against the church is the lust of the flesh. The Bible says it this way, love not the world, neither the things that are what? Now we're in the world, we cannot be out of the world, but we're not supposed to love the things of the world. For it says, all that's in the world is the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, that the devil uses to break down the church. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible says, if any man love the world, then the love of the what? Father is not in him. I have to speed up. It says, for those who lust of the flesh through much wantonness, now he's not getting the unsaved. We're going to find out who he's getting right here. Those that were what? As clean as state from them who live in they had gotten saved. But they allowed themselves to get caught up into some stuff that they shouldn't have gotten caught up in. Can you go down to verse 20? I think it is. It said, but if after they have escaped the what? Pollution of the world. The defilements, the sin, the parts of the world that lead us to go against God. He said, now, when you got saved, you escaped that pollution. Amen? That negativism. You escaped that. He said, now, after you escaped the pollution of the world, through how? I got saved. Amen. I got baptized. I got filled. I got a knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says, but the issue that the devil tries to get is he tries to get us what? Entangled therein and overcome. The devil is constantly trying to get us caught up into the things of the world. Can you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2? I'm going to just a couple more things and then I'm not going to be long. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And actually we'll start in verse 1. The devil's desire is to get us entangled in the pollution that God has brought us out of. How do we come out of that? Through the what? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That helps us escape that defilement, that pollution. Well, what the devil likes to do is try to blindside us by mixing it all up again and getting us entangled. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what?
Grace.
Paul tells the church of Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because as it said in the scripture, Zechariah said, it's not by might, nor is it by power. But God said it's by mind. By your own self-will, by your own power, we cannot prevail. He said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same committed to men. Come on, y'all, what that means? Same committed to what? Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also? Can you say faithful?
Faithful.
Can we say faithful?
Faithful.
When God calls us, he's going to say, well, well done, thou good and
faithful.
Thou therefore endure. Endure the trial. We got to endure the tests. We got to endure the challenges. For only they that endure to the end shall be saved. Thou therefore endure hardness as a what?
Good soldier.
Good soldier. Now he explains what it means to be a good soldier. Amen. How many was in the service in here? Only man. All right. Well, basic training. All that training was to get you away from your former life. It developed in you a different mentality. So he says, no man that what? No man that war. Saints of God tonight, we in the war. You in the war whether you're saved or unsaved. You're going to be in the war because the devil never stops desiring to have every last one of us, that he may sift us as wheat. So we're constantly in a war as long as we're in the flesh. Because the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, because these two are what? Contrary one to the other. So we're in a war. Amen. He said, well, it's not that bad. As long as you're in the flesh, you can be guaranteed you're in a war. Said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs. Now, it doesn't mean, I just do anything. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that our priorities are not first on the things of this world. Now, you have to eat. The man says, by himself, a man don't work, he don't what? And if a man doesn't take care of his own household, he's worse. So that's not what it means. All right, so let's get that established. But what it means is that we cannot put our greater focus and concentration on the things of this life more so than God. So it says he does not entangle himself with the affair of this life. In other words, our soldiers that are over in, let's use, over in Iraq fighting, or Afghanistan, right there, is going fighting in Afghanistan. Those that are over in Afghanistan can't be worried and trying to focus on what's happening back here. Though they are concerned because they have loved ones, their every moment's attention has to be on the war in Afghanistan. The moment they slip up, they will hit an IUD. The moment they slip up, they could be assassinated or shot. So they must be on red alert at all times. So they cannot get so wrapped up what's going on back in the United States that they lose their mental focus on what's happening in Afghanistan. Do we understand that? All right, that's what he means. So that doesn't mean, no, yeah, you still write letters, you still talk to your loved ones, but your greatest focus has to be on the war. Amen? Tonight, our greatest focus has to be on this war. It's a fight. Amen. God is fighting for us, the devil is fighting against us, but it's your vote that makes the difference. So he's maintaining himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The issue was not the affairs of his life, but who was he trying to please? Amen? that he may please him that's called him to be a soldier. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and we'll close here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Alright, I got 5 minutes, I'm a little over time, but I get that. Alright? Somebody should say, take your time.
Take 5 minutes.
Alright, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. It was verse 1. 3, let's go to verse. Actually, I'm not going to do all of those for the sake of time. Verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 8. It says, wherefore beloved, seeing that ye look for such things as the Lord's second coming and a city wherein dwelleth righteousness, a new heaven and a new earth, said, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and be sinless, have no sin in your life. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things that hard to be understood. This is Peter talking about Paul. He said, there are some things, maybe they are hard for you to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Unstable and unlearned, meaning they are not really set in the gospel. Unstable is the same thing as unsteadfast. The opposite of unsteadfast is to be what? Steadfast means to be strong in the Lord. So it says, if you are unsteadfast, you're going to wrestle as they do also the other scriptures. When you're not convinced, when you're not convicted through the Word of God, you will be unstable and you will wrestle with the scriptures. And he says it unto their own destruction. The challenge for the church tonight as we stand. We must learn to be steadfast and unmovable. Amen. We must learn to rest in the Lord. We must learn that for God I live, for God I die. As long as we're in the flesh, there's a war, there's a battle. Amen. We can never let our gods down by entangling ourselves. It didn't say with this life, but with the affairs of this life. Jesus used the illustration to let us know that we must prioritize, as the ministers come forward, we must prioritize ourselves spiritually. The devil cannot get the advantage. Neither can he sway us to go the wrong way as long as we refuse to allow him to get the advantage ministry gives.